and welcome to episode 216 of the Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ian. And this is the only podcast that says,
hey, sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'd never know because I wouldn't eat the filthy motherfucker.
Nice.
Pigs sleep and root and shit. That's a filthy animal. I ain't eating nothing that ain't got the sense to disregard its own feces.
Okay.
It's feeling Pulp Fiction-y this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a quote. So how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good.
Very good. Yep.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Hanging in there. Busy weekend. Busy weekend. Usual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Enough to drive you insane.
Mm-hmm. Ellie busted her leg up.
Oh.
Dance. Yeah. Had to, Lisa took her down to Children's.
Yeah.
And, So I went out and I was on call, so Lisa took her, but they took her in right away, so there was no wait.
Yeah.
And so she may have a fractured hairline, but it's near the growth plate, so that's what they're worried about.
Ooh, yeah.
So anyway, she's in a cast, no weight bearing, all that kind of crap. It's hard in this house because there's no bathroom on this floor.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, I went out and bought her a bunch of art shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? Maybe I need to buy some art stuff for myself.
Oh, wow.
So I picked up a sketch pad and pencils and...
Yeah.
I'm starting to sketch again.
Do a little drawing.
I did. A little Spidey, look.
A little Spidey action there.
A little baby Spider-Man, look. Look at this jazz.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Not bad.
Spidey tyke.
Yeah. And then... that little guy.
Oh, little cat.
Yeah. I started small.
Yeah.
I'm taking on a piece next. It's going to be a lot tougher, though.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm going to do Agra.
Ooh, well, that is tough.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work here.
It is. A lot of shading. And
yeah.
That's probably going to take me 2 weeks to do.
Yeah.
But not bad for just getting back into it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Cool.
You?
I'm just catching up on some shows that I let slip.
Yeah.
When I caught up on the latest season of Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
That show is hysterical. I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest season of Veep. And I don't know how I missed it. But I missed season two of Ballers.
Okay.
So I binge watched season two of Ballers. Get ready for season three, I think, starts this week after Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. That returns tonight. Very exciting stuff. And we just learned the identity of the new doctor.
Yes, yes.
Jodie Whittaker
is
her name.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the first time we'll have a female doctor
coming
off the success of a female master.
Right.
You know, so...
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her work. You said she was in Broadchurch.
Yeah, I think it's Broadchurch. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like a sub-character, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we bemoaned, like, you know, oh, they got an old guy as the doctor. He's not going to be running around. He was a pretty active doctor.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I liked him toward the end. In the beginning, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical. But he grew on me. And finally, when I started to really like him, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the way it should go, right?
Well, I mean, Capaldi's run was very difficult because, like, the first season, it was very much... more Clara-centric than it was Doctor-centric.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Doctor was almost hanging back because he was questioning himself, like, am I a good man? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
The second season, the Doctor and Clara were very much equals.
Yeah.
And in this season, it was really... back to the doctor being the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bill was the sidekick per se. You know, Nardole was it was really the first time he was allowed to really just shine as the character.
Yeah.
And he had little moments here and there in the first two seasons. But this was the first time it was like, you know, it's all about him.
Yeah.
You know. Fun little moments, like in the Christmas special, the Husband's River song, where he's like, you know.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who he is, and she's taking him into the TARDIS, and he's like, finally, it's my turn.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that was just tremendous.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get that transformation. I'm intrigued to see how she plays it.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, I guess what's most interesting about a woman taking over the character is, you know, we've seen a man's many different takes on the character over time, and Capaldi's is the first one in a long time that he was serious.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't wibbly wobbly, timey wimey and stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? It wasn't. He was fun, but he wasn't like that goofy kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm intrigued to see where a woman goes with the character.
Yeah.
And how she, like, what that personality will be like. Because with every change, the personalities are always a little bit different.
Right, right.
So I'm interested to see how this change, this take of the character is going to be.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Because it's a new showrunner, too.
Yeah.
Which is a guy who was the showrunner from Broadchurch.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising this is somebody that he was familiar with.
Right.
But, yeah, so I'm just intrigued to see, like, the direction of the show going forward.
Yeah.
You know, because and what's interesting is, like, Moffat was a writer under Davies.
Yeah.
So, like, that transition felt natural. And I'm surprised that whoever's taking over wasn't, like, somebody who studied under Moffat. Like, the BBC went and got somebody completely outside of the Doctor Who.
Yeah, outside of that box.
Outside of the family tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm intrigued to see, like, just, like, does the BBC have a direction they want the show to go in now then?
Right.
You know, as compared to what Moffat and Davies was doing, stuff like that. It's a lot of questions. We have to wait probably a year to find out.
Right.
You know. So. So, this is again the whole reason people are listening. I'm sure this is going to take a while because I think our lists are going to be extraordinarily different.
Right.
And that is our list of the top 10 action movies from the 2000s.
Right.
So, this is ranging from 2000 to 2009.
Right.
So, I'm intrigued. Like you said, I think our lists are going to be really different. I think maybe a couple of similarities, but for the most part, I think there's going to be a lot of a lot of differences here.
Yeah.
So why don't you go? What's your number 10, sir?
Okay, so 10's tied.
Okay, 10's a tie. You're Hobie in the list right off the bat.
I know. I did. I had to because I mean, like, there were so many films, and it's a tie. I had to put him in the list just because I respect this guy as an action star, but Crank. Mm-hmm. Is a great action movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Statham was amazing. I mean, some can argue The Transporter and, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All that stuff, but that is like adrenaline rush from the time it starts till the time it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's just all out.
Crank made my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
It was on my list.
Okay. So I had to put him in. I snuck him in there because that's where I could.
Yeah.
But the real number 10 is the re-release of Rambo.
Okay.
Oh. And you got to think, you know, Rambo, Rambo, Rambo. But when this thing was released, I was so skeptical. I was like,
oh,
should
yeah.
I even go see this? This
yeah.
is a bunch of bullshit. When I saw it, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
What did I freaking just watch?
It was very much a throwback to the original movie.
With more violence.
With much more violence. And very, very hard. I mean, very hardcore.
Hardcore violence.
This was a hard R for violence.
Oh,
I mean, when he turns a guy into mush with the 50 cal, I was like,
yes, damn. Exactly. It was good. I mean, when Stallone went back and redid his movies, when he redid The Rocky, he did Expendables, which was good, the first one.
And then that was after.
Yeah, it was after that. But what I'm saying is, he did Rocky, and he did, what was it? It wasn't Rocky, but it was Balboa.
Yeah.
And then he did Rambo. Yeah. I was waiting for,
Nighthawks 2.
Yeah. Cobra 7.
Cobra. The Return of Cobra.
Right. But I thought he did very well at them.
Yeah.
So.
I think both those movies shows you what a great writer he is.
Yeah.
As well. Because he wrote both of those films.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa is such a heartbreaking movie.
Oh.
Fans of that character and to, see where he ended up, the kind of person he... It was a very hard watch.
Well, he rewrote it.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He rewrote that.
Yeah.
The one with Tommy Davidson was just...
Yeah.
Not Tommy Davidson.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson.
Tommy Gunn, yeah.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Was just horrible.
It was.
There was one part in that movie that was good.
Yeah. Tommy Morrison was a boxer, by the way.
I know.
Okay, you were trying to figure out his name.
I was thinking of the part that I liked. Sorry.
Tommy Gunn, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When Gunn knocks him down.
Yeah.
Mickey's in the fucking lightning and the streetcar. That was good
I
shit.
I didn't hear no bell.
Yeah, but that was good shit.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
But that was probably the only good thing in that movie. But yeah. It's almost like Rocky got turned into a some guy with a lobotomy.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah.
It was, but this is, when they did this one, this is the way I pictured him being.
Yeah.
I wonder if this was in his mind's eye the whole time of this is how I want him
to go.
And
the studio interfered with it. And,
this is how I wanted to go out.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah.
The restaurant. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. The woman cancer. Everything was good about that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a triumph. It absolutely is. And, to turn around and do Rambo.
Back to action.
Yeah. And to give that movie the closure, that franchise the closure that it richly deserves by,
going out in style.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
It is.
When he goes up there with the fucking, the SEAL team and shit, or the rain, and he says, you don't know who you're walking into. Right. It's so good.
I know.
We don't leave anybody behind.
Yeah, he's just a lone wolf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was fitting.
It was. It was just fantastically done.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely deserves a spot on your list. I have it much higher. I have it at 3.
Do you?
Yeah.
It was just such a good action movie.
Yeah.
How can you... It had to make the list.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great action movie. The action is fantastic, but it also tells a really great story.
Yeah.
About the missionaries going up, and, is that all you're selling? Is religion? It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
Yeah.
My number 10.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is somewhere on your list. I'll be shocked if it's not.
I don't know.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Oh, it's here. It was right at 11.
No.
Yeah, you can see it written.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right here. It is. But I couldn't get... Rambo had to make the list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was Rambo or Brotherhood. And I'm like, ugh. Personal favorite is... I like them both.
Yeah.
So, you can see where it is. I wrote it right here.
Yeah.
It's just... That's a fine film right there.
This may be... I can't remember. Was this a Redbox movie or something?
Yeah.
One of us picked up and was just like, we're going to watch this. And we were both fucked up drunk.
Mm.
And We're watching this movie.
With no expectations.
None. We're like, this is going to be horrifically bad. And Brotherhood of the Wolf is a French movie.
Yeah.
So I think we were watching with subtitles even.
Yeah.
And it takes some batshit crazy turns. And the action is fantastic. This is like one of those first movies like post-Matrix.
Yeah.
To like try to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Without... But I mean, it's like weird because it's taking place in like 1865 France. Yeah. You know, the one dude's a Native American who...
it's fucked up.
It's amazing, though.
Yeah,
it is fucking amazing. And I mean, we're both watching it, and at the end of it, we're both like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I know, we were like, this is crazy.
And I always thought, like, well, is it because we were drunk?
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched it again and again. I have it on DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've watched it. I just watched it last night, in fact, just to refresh my memory again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, it's just that fucking good.
Yeah, it's a good movie, dude. It is. It's fucking great.
And as a bonus, you get some nudity from a young... Bulelli? Oh, fuck. I can't remember her name. Monica Bulelli? I can't remember. She's like, you know, she was in The Matrix Returns and,
yeah,
you know, but she's hot. So, like, as a bonus, you get nudity from her. Right. Enjoy.
Right.
So, there you go. There's my number 10.
Okay.
What's your number 9, sir?
I put number 9 as Iron Man.
Okay.
I thought about this too, and I was like, should I put him on or not? But I love the movie, and it needs to be in its place because it just kicked it all.
Yeah.
Into, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What's coming and the excitement and seeing this your superhero on screen was just like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whoa, that's pretty fucking cool. You know what I mean? Look how they did that. You know. All the toys, gadgets, and I like the action. And so, yeah, Iron Man made my list.
And Iron Man was a character, like, he was a B, maybe even C-level character at the time of Marvel.
I know, and it was just like, I don't think there was, when they came out with it, I mean, I think there was high expectation, but I didn't think that, it was almost like a, I don't want to say test market thing.
It was a trial balloon in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because it was kind of like, oh, let's throw this guy out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
let's throw him out and see what he can do.
In many ways, Iron Man launches the golden age of superhero films.
Yeah.
In many ways. I mean, I know people are going to point at, you know, well, I think Batman Returns had already come out at that point.
Yeah.
Where Batman Begins. But, I mean, it really is. It's Iron Man. It's the blockbuster. It's, you know... I remember when they announced that Robert Downey Jr. was going to play Tony Stark, people were like, oh, that's a bad move. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Right.
I think it's fucking brilliant casting.
Right. You know?
If anybody could, you know, pull off Tony Stark, it's RDJ.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, part of his big comeback, too, was,
yeah,
you know, I mean, he had come off the success of the Shane Black movie. I can't think of the name of. But he had done that with Casey Affleck.
Uh-huh.
And people were kind of like, okay, you know, RDJ can still act. And then, you know, he does Iron Man, and then he does Tropical Thunder. Yeah. You know, I mean, and this kind of like began that renaissance of his career.
Yeah.
But mostly, you know, with superhero movies. But still, I mean, it's...
It was a good movie.
It's a damn fine movie. I can't deny that for a second.
Yeah. So that's why it made my list.
Yeah. My number 9 is Smoking Aces.
Wow. Okay.
You want to talk about a balls-out action movie.
Yeah.
I mean... And the whole premise is Jeremy Piven plays this, like, informant.
Uh-huh.
Who's, like, turning state's evidence. And the feds are trying to protect them in a penthouse.
Okay.
And the mob has, like, put out, like, $1 million bounty on his head.
Yeah.
And every hitman is coming to Vegas to take him out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and it's just, at the end of it, it is, again, batshit crazy with just the kind of action you end up. It's like, there are cars. The gunfights are just ridiculous.
Right, right.
You know, it's just bullets flying everywhere. It's an amazing. It's actually a good story, too. Like, it's not that bad of a story.
Mm.
But from the standpoint of just how crazy it fucking gets, it's. And it, I mean, it's Piven just. Not that he's involved in any of the action, but, like, just to see Jeremy Piven, like, play, like, a complete and total jag-off.
Right, right.
Is worth the price of admission by itself. You know.
I like him, too.
Just a drunken whoremonger.
You know? You're right.
Just a tremendous movie. If you haven't seen, worth a watch.
Yeah. Where are we at? Number eight.
Yeah, number eight. You're number eight.
So I put number eight as Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's filled with action.
Yeah.
And it's action that you would not think would come from him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you saw a little bit in Shaun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like... It was just... It touched on it here and there in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this was like, wow. Look what he's doing. I'm sure, you know, effects, whatever. Da, 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 da. But I thought it was good. I thought the action in it was good. It kept going. To me. I liked.
It's probably my favorite of the trilogy.
Yeah.
The Ice Cream trilogy. I mean, Shaun of the Dead is great. It's fantastic.
But it didn't...
And
it didn't qualify to me as an action
movie. Right. And End of the World is a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. I'm not like a lot of people are like, oh, it's bad. I'm like, nah, it's good if you just watch it right. Right. But Hot Fuzz... I mean, that's just Pegg and Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, and Nick Frost just taking the genre, making fun of it,
yeah,
and just going hog wild with it at the same time.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, and Nick Frost is like, have you ever just shot your gun in the air for no reason?
Yeah.
Simon Pegg, like, what? Why would I do that?
Yeah, because he played the serious guy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, Simon Pegg plays a straight serious.
Yeah, straight up serious.
Yeah, you know, and it's like everybody else around him is like is goofing,
right?
You know?
Right, right.
And he's like, it's complete deadpan, which it's hard to imagine Simon Pegg doing. But oh, it's so good.
But that's what made it so good.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. It's up there for me. Just
yeah.
Because it's an enjoyable movie for me to watch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I love Edgar Wright. I want to see Baby Driver in the worst way.
Yeah.
It's like just one of those things where, like, I just don't have the time or the money.
Right, right.
You know? But so much. I mean, Edgar Wright. I'll give. If Edgar Wright's name is attached to it, I will give it a chance. You know, like, I didn't care for it. What's his name versus the world?
What?
Oh, what's the name of the movie? The dude's trying to win over the girl, but he's got to fight each of her ex-boyfriends.
We were just talking about that.
Oh,
my God. The girls wanted it on my list.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim versus the world. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't care for that movie, but I get it, and it's good.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get... It's not me, per se, but I still like it.
Right.
But,
Well, the girls wanted me to put it on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do that, because this is my list. I can't...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have to put movies on here where I think... You know, it's a personalized list, so...
Yeah.
It's not... I mean, if I was to make a true... What do you call it? Non-personal list... Does that make sense? There'd be more movies on here than what's on mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is more of a personal thing for
right.
me. But, yeah. You're number eight.
My number eight is National Treasure.
Okay. Honorable mention for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. This is probably one of the last great Nicolas Cage movies.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's going to go on from here to make some real shit other than National Treasure 2. You know?
Right, right.
I mean, so it's a different style of action, though. Like, this isn't gunfights.
Correct.
And, you know, there is some car chase, but it's not the style of action that you're going to get from Smoking Aces.
Right. No, it's a different action. It's Indiana Jones, a little bit type of action.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the guns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. It's that same level.
Yeah, I mean, it's him kind of solving puzzles and tension being built, and it has an action-y feel to it.
Yeah.
But it's not action in the sense of like a Smoking Aces or some of the other movies we've talked about over the past two lists. This is more, it's action, but it's a different style, and it's really well done.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things that, like, to get on this list for the most part, I'm sure people are going to go back and like, you know, yeah, but how'd this make a list if you're talking about it? Story's important.
Yeah.
You know, you can have, there are action movies where, like, you can literally see somebody just had an idea for, like, four different action sequences, and they try to build a story around four different action sequences.
Right.
And they're awful.
Yeah.
This is, you know, so story's always important to me, and this has a great story.
Yeah,
I like the story that goes along with this a lot, and I liked. I mean, it's like the last great, one of the last great Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah, agreed.
So, you're number seven, sir.
I'm gonna have to go with the one.
The one.
Yeah.
That this is going to be the first of what I'm sure will be many entries from Jet Li.
Yeah. Well, the one, it was just a good movie.
Yeah.
For what it was, and like, it wasn't an epic.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a story. I liked the story. I liked the science behind the story.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of neat, actually.
Yeah.
But it is Jet Li.
Yeah.
I'm looking up something real quick just to make sure I'm right.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, the story is, like, really good. It's got that sci-fi twist to it with the different dimensions and,
yeah,
you know, killing each one of you of your doppelgangers from a different dimension gives you more power.
But it was also one of the first movies I saw outside of the Black Mask. Like, I kept hearing about, like, this buzz, I can remember seeing at the time, because I think I saw The Black Mask at Rainbow Cinema.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing this buzz about this guy.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah,
you know?
Lethal Weapon was the first time I heard of Jet Li. Yeah,
yeah.
Lethal Weapon 4.
And then it was like, and then The Black Mask was in limited release. And then The One came out pretty close to that time period. It's hard to think back, but I'm pretty sure it's around the same period.
Yeah.
It's Black Mask was released in 99, I think.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I was like, that dude is badass. I mean, like, he's fighting himself, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
In different styles.
Yeah.
You know? But like I said, the science behind it, the effects were good. I liked that the two cops...
Yeah,
the time cops or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I like those characters.
Yeah,
a lot.
Delroy Lindo's fantastic.
I know.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I love that. It was just a good blend. It was just tons of action.
Yeah,
which I was like, man, this is badass. And the shit that he was doing on screen, I had never seen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I've watched Kung Fu Theater and all that kind of crap, but seeing it like that was just. Maybe it's because I saw it on screen, but I was just like, man, that's the fucking best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's also one of Lisa's favorites, too. And I think we saw that together.
Yeah.
That started the whole, I think, Jet Li for my birthday. Not mine, but hers.
Yeah.
New Jet Li movie every year.
Yeah.
Got harder.
It's gotten harder, I'm sure. Yeah.
But, yeah, so that made my life. I love the movie. And the reason I made it's not necessarily the best Jet Li movie, or necessarily, you can argue, you know, Kiss of the Dragon or Cradle of the Grave is a better film.
Yeah.
It made my list because it started me off on that Jet Li, being a Jet Li fanatic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Okay, son.
My number seven is Wanted.
Okay.
This was directed by Timber. He's a Russian guy. But I had actually heard of him previous to Wanted because he directed two movies that I loved called Day Watch and Night Watch.
Okay.
Okay. And off of that, Wanted was his first American release. And it's got, you know, James McAvoy. It's got Angelina Jolie, Terrence Stamp, and Morgan Freeman in it.
Okay.
And the basic premise is, you know, James McAvoy's dad has gone rogue from a society of assassins.
Okay.
And they bring in McAvoy because they feel he, genetically, he has the same capabilities that his father does. And, you know, through training and whatnot, he does develop the skills.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just balls out action.
Yeah.
It's based off of a comic book that, if you read the comic book, the movie has damn near nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I mean, damn near nothing. The comic book is actually really, really good that I would also highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie by itself, if you watch it without knowing anything about the comic book, you'd think it's just a fantastic story.
Okay.
I mean, the action is extraordinarily stylized.
Yeah.
It's car chases, it's special effects, you know, they're bending bullets around things. I mean, it's really good, and I highly, highly recommend it. And it's, it's got Morgan Freeman dropping a motherfucker.
Right.
You know, if for anything else, it's just to hear Morgan Freeman, you know, drop a motherfucker.
Right.
Let's put a bullet in his ass, kill this motherfucker, and we'll get paid.
Right.
Fuck. Did Morgan Freeman say motherfucker?
Right.
Damn. I didn't expect that from Nelson Mandela. So what do you got at your number six?
Resident Evil.
Nah, okay.
Yeah, you're talking to a person that played it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And seeing it on screen was, it was incredible. I love the series. I've always loved the series. I don't care how bad or good it is, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always watching it. I don't care which one's on, I watch it.
Yeah.
It's filled with action.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fast-paced. It keeps going. I like her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's just nothing about it that I don't like. And I like the effects.
Yeah.
Man, it's good stuff.
It's a guilty pleasure franchise for sure.
Yeah,
and I've seen them all. I'll watch them at any time.
Yeah, and it's filled with action.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're always, you know.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah,
crazy effects, crazy stunts.
Yeah, Doom tried to get it, but they didn't.
Yeah,
get it right.
No.
Yeah, I love this movie. I love the whole series.
Yeah,
so. This is what kind of, you know, it was cool playing and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like seeing this come to life.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Especially the second one being in Raccoon City.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad talked about at the end of the first one, when the camera pulls back and there's Raccoon City in its destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad talked about it, like, okay, well, that there's the police station. You don't want to go there. You know,
right.
You know, it was like the video gamer, and it was like, you know, well, there's that. Don't want to go there. You know? Oh, you got ammo there. You need to stop there first. I mean, like,
right.
They pulled it right from the video game.
Yeah.
So.
And it wasn't bad.
No, it's
I mean,
not.
Even in the new one, I mean, as terrible as people think as some of the newer ones are,
yeah,
that thing's still not bad.
No.
I mean, it's still a watchable movie.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Sharknado.
I mean,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's a storyline to every one of them.
Yeah.
It's just if you like the storyline or not.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, yes, they have gotten fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the problem. Like, when you get to a seventh movie in a franchise, it is continually going over the top.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to seven, you've really got to go over the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm glad they're wrapping the franchise up. I know they're planning on rebooting it. And I hope they get back to the more grounded roots of the video game, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
But for what this franchise has been, I love it. You know, I can't wait to watch the last one. I wanted to see it in the theater, but just at that time, that's when Nancy's mother was in the nursing home and things were bad. We just couldn't go see it at that time.
Right, right.
But once it, you know, now that it's out on DVD, you know, I plan on picking it up and definitely watching it. I've got all the others on DVD.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And like you said, like it comes on TV, I'm just putting the remote fucking down.
Yeah. But that's why I made the list, just because it's always been an ongoing, and I know I've crossed genres somewhat, action, horror, whatever,
right.
but it's tough to argue that it's not, shouldn't be part of this list for me.
Right, I agree. I'm not going to deny that.
Especially when you're loading your fucking shotgun up with quarters.
Yeah.
That's badass right there.
Yeah.
It's cool shit.
My number six is Gone in 60 Seconds.
Okay. Get it.
Honorable
mention for me.
Yeah. Again, this is a great Nicolas Cage movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a solid cast, but I mean, one of the greatest car chases scenes ever put to cinema.
Yeah.
You know, just the end chase scene with him and Eleanor.
Mm.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I could watch that all day.
I agree. It's a good movie. And we've talked about Gone, a lot of times. But I think it's a great movie. It just got honorable mention for me.
Yeah,
it was a different style of action.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because some could argue you could put Fast and the Furious on this list,
and you could.
But I think Gone in 60 Seconds is better.
And Fast and Furious makes my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah, yeah.
I will give the first one that it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Only because it's nothing more than a remake of Point Break.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it.
And it's a good remake of Point Break.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, the other movies that follow get so, like, it just becomes ridiculous. But the first one, I give it to because it's that good. Like, it told a good story.
Uh-huh.
It took that Point Break formula, and mixed it up a little bit, and made it work.
Yeah, yeah.
But not good enough to, you know. It was like, it was going to be number 10 until, you know, it's like, fuck, I got to find a place for Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it.
Yeah.
Completely.
So what's your number five, sir?
Blade 2.
Blade 2, okay. I figured this was going to make the list.
Oh. It's action throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Building a team up.
Yeah.
I love that shit
in
action movies. Each one with their own special whatever.
Yeah.
Plus it has Norman Reedus in it.
Yeah.
And just going and kicking ass.
Yeah.
I love the invention of the, not invention, but the light grenades.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Cool aspect
of the
light. You know what I mean? Oh, and when he detonates the one off in the water and they all pop out of the water and fucking slice them. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's some good shit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, good ending.
Yeah.
I like the thought of the genetically modified vampire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really cool. There wasn't anything about this that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And it had to make the list.
It's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
It's got Ron Perlman in it.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, it's the best Blade movie. Yeah, I think it's better than one, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm torn. Like, I think this is better as far as, like, more stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the movie, I think Stephen Dorff was amazing.
Yeah, he was.
But I mean, like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But Ron Perlman was friggin' great in this movie. His death was good in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good shit.
Yeah.
Blade 2 is definitely on there. All right, number 5, sir.
My number 5 is The Rundown.
Okay.
This is, to me, it's not. It's The Rock's first action movie.
Okay.
You know, he had the cameo in the Mummy Scorpion King.
Yeah.
You know, and the horrible CGI.
Oh, man.
But then that
was so bad.
But then he does the Scorpion King movie. Because they were so impressed with him. He does that movie.
Man, that was bad.
It is bad. It's a hard watch.
Oh, it's more than a hard watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. You know. But you get to The Rundown. And this is being directed by Peter Berg.
Okay.
And it's got, you know, he plays a guy who finds people.
Yeah.
You know, and he's hired to find this mobster's son. And it turns out he's down in South America.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a treasure hunter.
Right.
And, you know, the son that he's searching for is Sean William Scott.
Right.
So you got Sean William Scott, who provides some really good, you know, comedic timing.
Right.
And the villain of the piece is fucking Christopher Walken.
Right.
In full-on Walken mode.
Right, right.
You know, but it's like, they're in the majority of it is like they're in the jungle. It's The Rock. It's Sean William Scott, and it's Rosario Dawson,
mm-hmm.
And you know they're trying to get back, and they've got this gato, which is supposed to be like this symbol for like this village to uprise. I mean, but like the action in the jungle is fantastic, but the final fight is amazing, and it's Peter Berg directing it, and it, like Peter Berg has directed some amazing movies, and this is kind of like one of his first ones, so you kind of get a feel for what his style is and stuff watching this, and you're just like, you know, damn, this is good stuff, you know.
Mm.
I mean, it's the first movie where you took The Rock really seriously as an actor,
right?
You know, it wasn't like you really thought to yourself, okay, he could be an action star.
Right.
You know, if he sets his mind to it, he could be the next big thing. And he became the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, this is really where it starts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I always liked Walking Tall.
Walking Tall is a great movie, too.
Like, it is. I know
it's a remake, but it's a really good remake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were a few movies that he made, like, at the very beginning of his acting career that are kind of grittier. And, like, the Rundown's one and Walking Tall is another one.
Yeah.
That just a little bit, it's not really, like, a slick action movie like you get from, like, The Fast and the Furious that he's in now and stuff This was more like, you know, I mean, he's giving people the rock bottom through slot machines and shit.
Yeah. That fighting that thing was incredible.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It is. It's a really good movie.
You know, you look at the beginnings, you know, like Schwarzenegger did Commando.
Yeah.
You know, like over the top. And this is what, like, I'm comparing this, to, like, Walking Tall to The Rock's early career.
Right.
And I like it maybe better than Commando.
Yeah.
I do. And it's more today. But yeah. I mean, like, that's a good fucking movie, man.
It is.
Walking Tall is definitely.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in The Rundown, you have that great moment. They got, because Schwarzenegger had just become governor.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got him to come in for a day. Yeah. And they're crossing passes. He's walking into a club.
Yeah, yeah.
Schwarzenegger's walking out, and Schwarzenegger's like, good luck in there.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, that's like the passing of the torch moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. But yeah, to the rundown, I highly recommend Walking Tall as well. But the rundown is a great movie that if you honestly haven't seen it, I would highly, highly recommend because it's definitely worth the watch.
Right. Yeah.
You're number four, sir.
I'm going to have to go The Dark Knight.
Okay.
I think this movie is absolutely amazing. I mean, to me. Not only with good acting, but the action, especially the car scene.
Yeah.
That
whole chase.
Oh, that was incredible. But yeah. It had action throughout. You know what I mean? I just thought, as far as an entertaining action movie, I mean, I can go beyond the genre, like, you know, crime, drama, superhero movie, you know, da-da-da-da. But for my money's worth, as far as action movie... This paid the bills for me. What I mean? Like, I just love the movie.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of Ledger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because of the movie as a whole. It's just a good movie. I thought it was the best of the three.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is the best of the three Nolan films.
You're introducing toys into the mix. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Batman stuff. And it's just good. I like that shit, man.
I mean, and it introduces things that, like, for whatever reason, nobody thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Like Batman being able to move his fucking head.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, how hasn't anybody thought of that beforehand?
Right.
Like, how have we just kind of, like, bought into, like, he would just have this fucked up cape
and they addressed it in film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like, I gotta move my head.
Yeah.
You know?
This is like, I'm getting blindsided here.
Yeah. And it was really well done. Like, people hate... Like, there are people who hate, like, the helmet style that they went with.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if it fucking works, it fucking works.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, more importantly, you're not getting the big turn, the big superhero turn he had to do because he couldn't fucking turn his head.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because after all those years, you would think... I mean, there are some, suits of armor that moved better than his head did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? You know. Like, holy hell.
Yeah. It took him that long to figure it out. But as far as the movie goes, I mean, I don't know if you would agree, but I just think it's a good action movie.
It is. I think, I mean, the chase sequence in the middle of the movie with the Batmobile and the Joker and I mean, that's fantastic. That's one of the better car chases you're going to see. Period, in my opinion. And then the ending, like when he has to go like up through the building and taking out the cops and stuff.
Yeah.
That was like some just great. It was very reminiscent. I mean, it hadn't come out yet, but like when I was playing Batman Arkham Asylum and like you had these stealth missions where you had to like, you couldn't get seen. You had to stealthily take out all the bad guys at a level.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you couldn't just pummel them. That was very reminiscent of that, because you'd pop out of nowhere and hang somebody up from their ankles. That was reminiscent of.
Right, right.
It just Nolan knocked it out of the park. I mean, you know, we could go on about Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, we don't have to.
But we don't have to, because from the action standpoint, I mean, Ledger's Joker really wasn't all that involved. You know, but boy, was it a good movie. It robbed. I've always said, if you replace Batman with some rogue FBI agent,
right,
it wins the Academy Award.
Wow.
It wasn't even nominated. In my opinion, it wasn't even nominated because it was a Batman movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there are people from the Academy who have kind of said that. The reason they now nominate, because it used to be only nominated 5 movies for Best Picture.
Right, right.
Now they nominate 10. Batman is the reason why. The Dark Knight is the reason why they expanded that to 10.
Yeah.
Because there was so much controversy that movie wasn't nominated for Best Picture, and it should have been.
It should have been.
And Nolan should have been nominated for Best Director.
Yeah. You okay?
I'm getting off my high horse. I'm getting down off my rant.
So, you can see why I made my list. Yeah. It's just, for me, it was pound for pound. It fit the bill for me.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to
say. Yeah, I get that. My number four is Romeo Must Die.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. Like, I know there are better Jet Li movies. I mean, I know there's one you're going to talk about in a little bit that's, you know. But.
No, I.
You know.
It's hard. Son, I could have put every Jet Li movie on this list.
Right.
But I didn't want to do that. So.
And I mean, and the one is fantastic, but Romeo Must Die is a great movie.
Oh, it is?
It's just a fucking great movie. I mean, it's a great retelling of the Romeo and Juliet story.
Yeah.
But it's also just really fucking good. I mean, really fucking good.
It is, dude.
You know, and I mean, Jet Li's just awesome in it. I mean, the action's fantastic. It's just a great movie.
It is. I completely agree with you.
You know, and
I like Kiss the Dragon too.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good storyline.
Yeah.
But Romeo Must Die is a fantastic movie, which also has what's his name in it,
Delroy Lindo
as the father.
Yeah.
It also has. What's his name? Which he was really funny in.
Anthony Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was hysterical in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great comedic relief.
Yeah. Because he also has that moment where he's like just like jawing at Jet Li, and Jet Li's like, I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're going to kill me.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I completely agree. I did.
Yeah.
And I could have went with those movies.
Yeah.
And I probably should have. But I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, so Romeo Must Die, again, like...
It's a great freaking movie.
Yeah.
From front to back, throughout the whole thing. It's just nonstop. No, I agree with you. 100%.
So what's your number three, sir?
Number three is IP Man.
Okay.
Ugh.
The old Ip Man.
Fantastic movie. Period piece. I don't know how much you know. You've seen IP Man, right?
Yeah.
Japanese invasion. Best martial artist school. The shit that he's doing in this movie.
Yeah.
Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
Is absolutely fucking amazing. You know what I mean? And it's a good story.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I love it. It made my list. I've talked about IP Man on here before. I think it's just one of those movies that's that good.
And it's the introduction of Donnie Yen.
Yes. Oh, yeah. God. He's just so freaking good, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, and he's a guy that, like, American audiences, in a lot of ways, are just discovering because he was in Rogue One.
Yeah.
You know, but Donnie Yen, is as a martial artist, is just fantastic.
Yeah, and Wing Chun, what he was teaching was eventually became Bruce. One of his students was Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on, and it's just this collaborative story. It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. Man, I can go on and on about this movie. I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm trying to keep it short on the movies, cause, not short, but
right.
I don't need to go into. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because it's that good of a film.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of martial arts movies, how you haven't seen this, I don't know.
It's probably cream of the crop.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, foreign movies.
Yeah.
You know, that I could put in here. I could have put it on my last list of Jet Li movie.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But there's probably other movies out there that are better, but this is, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Well, my number three was Rambo.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and give us your number two.
Number two.
Yeah.
My number two is Fearless.
Fearless, okay.
Jet Li film.
Yeah.
I think this... We had this discussion outside before we even started this list.
Yeah.
And I... And I went in, how do I put Hero into this list?
Yeah.
It should be right here, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Hero, but I really like Fearless. And the last fight scene in Fearless, where he takes on the Japanese guy.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable to me. Period piece again. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to even go on about. It's my favorite Jet Li movie.
Okay,
I can just put it that way.
Yeah,
the martial arts style is incredible, and especially the end. The end is worth the money of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, there's stuff all throughout the movie.
Right.
I like the storyline between becoming humble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being rich, becoming humble, losing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it all makes sense. And at the end, it was just like, when the blood's coming out of his mouth. You know what I mean? Like, when he's been poisoned by tea.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other guy acknowledging he knows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he still kept fighting. Yeah. It's just, God, I got chills from that movie. it's one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
My number two is Casino Royale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was the rebooting and the rebranding of the Bond franchise.
Mm-hmm.
This is Daniel Craig's first Bond movie. And it really... It takes the franchise from these awful kind of one-liner Bond being like this just quip machine that just walks around in Armani suits.
Right.
And makes it much more gritty again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, starting off with the opening of the movie, the cold open, where, he has the fight. And it's all done in black and white because it's kind of a flashback as to how he gets his 00.
Mm.
And he has this just epic fight in a public men's room where he's just putting this guy's face through a sink and stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, then he shoots the other guy. He's like, you know, you need 2 kills to be a 00. He's like, here's number 2, you know?
Right. And
shoots him. Right on through, like, I mean, there's this epic foot chase. It's very parkour-ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, over construction equipment and construction site, and it was a completely different feel for a Bond movie than what you had from the previous iterations, because of what we as an audience were now demanding from the franchise.
Right, right.
You know, we didn't want Pierce Brosnan and, you know, the shitty one-liners or stuff like that. We wanted something more realistic and gritty.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, gone are the toys, even. Like,
yeah.
You know, the gadgets went away.
Yeah, yeah.
From the franchise as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they really don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like it. It's this man's intellect and his guile that get him through these crises and not some gadget that's handed to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it made the Bond franchise really, and I'm sure Stork will, you know, blast me, but it made it viable again.
Agreed.
You know, because it really was. It was going down a road of, this is no longer a relevant franchise.
It kind of brought things to what we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, after Die Another Day, and how awful that fucking thing was,
mm-hmm.
and how progressively, like, if you look at the Pierce Brosnan's movies, and you start with Goldeneye. Goldeneye's not that bad of a movie.
Mm.
But as they keep going forward, his movies get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Because, one, because of, probably because of Pierce Brosnan's age.
Yeah.
But also just because it's gadgets and one-liners.
Yeah.
and him banging some broad. You know, and
yeah.
and it just it gets old.
Yeah, you don't want to see it.
It really got old. And you come into this movie and you know, it's a completely different feel, and then you know, you have the whole thing where he goes to the casino and, you know, Vesper Lynn and played by Eva Green looking fine as fuck. She's hot.
Okay.
But I mean you're like okay.
No, I mean, I think she is. I'm...
Yeah, but I mean...
Let me get you a Kleenex.
Thank you. But I mean, it's one of those things like, you know, the story even like, you know, with him falling in love with her, and it's so good. I mean, it's just, it's a fantastic movie. And I mean, and I get it. Bond isn't for everybody.
Right.
But if you just watch Casino Royale, and start watching Bond forwards going forward from there, you're going to find a much more entertaining franchise.
Yeah.
Because they are better movies now. You know, if like your recollection of what a Bond movie is Roger Moore in the 80s or Pierce Brosnan in the 2000s, forget that. Forget everything you know about Bond because he's been rebooted and this is really fucking good.
Yeah.
And you have to start with Casino Royale. You have to watch these in order. They very loosely tell a tale that when you, by the time you get to the latest one, by the time you get to Spectre, the tale is really well woven.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead. What is your number one, sir?
My number one action movie of the 2000s is 300.
Wow, that is way off the reservation.
Not for me.
Okay.
There is not a movie that is. I love that movie.
Okay.
I think partly because it's sort of time, like period.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought, and as ridiculous as it seems at some points, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got some things really right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To me, this is probably the ultimate action movie of all time. It's just the onslaught of death.
Yeah.
The fighting. No guns.
Yeah.
None of that. Just all sword battle.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely amazing. To me, it's just one of the most and the way it was filmed was beautiful.
Yeah, Zack Snyder does an amazing job.
Yeah,
with that,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
there is not. It had a good sub storyline.
Yeah,
if you really needed one, but it was there.
Yeah,
it was done by narration.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I thought that was brilliant how that was worked in.
Yeah,
but as far as the effects, the wardrobe, the fighting, the blood.
Yeah.
Everybody dies. And it starts off right from the beginning.
Yeah.
This is Sparta.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got chills right now.
Yeah. Just,
that is bad punch to your mouth. Ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And seeing, I mean, that, I don't know how much they modified his body.
Yeah.
But he was in shape, dude.
Yeah.
It was gritty. It was everything about that movie I just loved.
Yeah.
The death wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was incredible. And it was like, it was a story of like, we are the last standing.
Yeah.
They cannot get through us.
Yeah.
You know? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When the guy's son dies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
He just goes berserk mode.
Yeah.
Incredible. To me, it's just... You cannot get any more... For me, you can't get any more action-packed than that movie.
Okay.
It is. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm
I didn't think it went way off the reservation. I mean, it's a fucking great action.
It's a great action. I'm just shocked that it's number one.
Oh yeah, there. To me, it just. I don't know. when I broke it down, like, all of these movies have, like, stories. And this had a story, too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But the story was, I mean, it was always there, but yeah. it was minor compared to what the action involved was.
Yeah, the story is these 300 men holding down
the pass.
Yeah.
So
against an outnumbered 1,000 to 1.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to hold it down for X amount of time.
But they were so good.
Yeah.
As soldiers.
Right.
I mean, the best of the best of the best of the world.
Right.
And insurmountable odds against them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they become legend.
Yeah.
Because of it. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
The rest of these movies, most of them have storylines and plots. I mean, I can argue that Hero is my number one, but Hero is more of an epic.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put, I really had a hard time putting Hero into this category because it's an epic film.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right. it's, I mean, the action's incredible.
Right.
The fight scenes are unbelievable, you know, but it's more of an epic style.
Right.
Artistic, you know, yeah. and it was hard for me to put it in this, but not the 300 is not artistic. It's just pound for action.
Yeah.
I don't think, out of the movies that I've mentioned, I don't think anything can touch this movie as far as action.
Right.
I just can't. So, it's my number one.
Okay.
The 300.
I am about to spark some controversy myself.
Okay.
Because my number one is the Bourne franchise.
Okay. I get that, because the Bournes were on my...
Yeah.
On my... I couldn't... It was hard to put them in the...
Yeah.
Like, in there, so I just put them all in honorable mention.
Yeah. I couldn't separate one from the other.
Yeah.
Especially the first three movies. The fourth one that came out a couple of years ago, or a little while. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
But the first three, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Ultimatum, and the Bourne Supremacy. This is why Casino Royale exists.
Yeah.
It, or these movies, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this changed, again, action. The Bourne movies changed the way we look at action movies because they're much grittier. They're raw.
Mm.
They're very real feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not outlandish special effects. It's this is going back to practical stunts.
Yeah.
You know, if we can't do it in front of a camera, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Type of feel. And, fuck, is it good?
Oh, yeah. Real good.
You know.
Yeah, it probably should have been on my list, but I couldn't. It was hard for me to decide. I mean, I looked at them all, and it was really hard for me to put them in.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't figure out where to put them.
Yeah.
And so I just put them all. I said, fuck it. And I just put them all in honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because they're so good.
Yeah. I mean, and they all have, like, that... There's always, like, that signature car chase in one of them. It's, like, fucking crazy.
Mm.
But it's really well done. And, you know, there's always some sort of fist fight that's just ridiculous, but really well done, you know? And Matt Damon is just so fucking good.
Yeah, he is. He is that good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a franchise that absolutely has changed the way action movies are done and looked at. And spy movies in particular, because it belongs in the spy genre. But like I've said, I mean it because of the Bourne Identity and the Bourne Supremacy, they had to change Bond movies.
Yeah,
they had to change how they looked at Bond movies because this is what people wanted, not Pierce Brosnan, you know, just doing goofiness. I mean, so it does change, and for the better.
I mean, Bond got to a point to me where I was expecting him to put a hat on a propeller to come out like Mr. Gadget.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how ridiculous they had become. And which really, in truth, veered me away from Bond.
Yeah.
And I still haven't gone back. to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, my mom watched Bond like crazy. But when it started getting really bad, I just kind of like, I lost complete interest in the character.
Yeah.
And it almost ruined me because I never went back.
Yeah.
But these movies, the Bourne movies were just, all of them were just well done. Well, except for the last one.
Yeah, the Jason Bourne one that came out a couple years. But the first three.
Yeah.
Are so good. And they tell a great story.
Mm.
Like, all three of them combined tell a fantastic story. And it's so well done. And it's a franchise that, I mean, people kind of, like, almost forget about.
Right.
Because it's, they weren't, like, huge blockbusters. They don't look like huge blockbusters.
Right.
You know, there's not shit exploding every 30 seconds and,
right.
you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's a very subtle movie, but the action is very, very intense.
Did you like Legacy? I know it's not in our 2009, but...
I still haven't seen Legacy.
Wow, I liked it.
I want to watch it because I like Jeremy Renner to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
And I heard it's actually really good.
Yeah.
From a lot of people. It's one of those ones that, for some reason, it's just slipped past me.
Yeah.
And I do want to watch it, though, because it did look good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, like, it just, to me, the Bourne franchise felt like it should be number one.
Yeah.
You know, because of how much I, like, again, any one of those movies comes on, the remote control just gets dropped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not changing the channel or nothing, you know.
Right, right.
And, so it felt like a natural number one to me out of the 90s or the 2000s because of just how good it is.
Yeah.
So there you go. Any honorable mentions you like to?
Alien vs. Predator, Requiem, Taken. Of course, the Bourne Identities.
Mm-hmm.
I did put Reign of Fire on my...
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
Yeah.
And of course, Hero is kind of...
Yeah.
...on there, but I can't really... You know what I mean?
Right.
Transformers.
Okay.
Honorable mention. That's really it.
I had Taken.
Mm-hmm.
The Transporter.
The Transporter, yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Crank. Get Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Get
Carter was good.
Yeah. The Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Man on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Pineapple Express.
Yeah. I get Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
It's a funny fucking movie.
It is. It's funny, but the action's actually really good in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a straight-up action movie with just ridiculously funny shit in it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man. Oh, Pineapple Express.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our list. I'm intrigued to hear feedback on that.
Yeah.
Because I think we had two very differing lists.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be different.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are people who are going to be like, how could you leave off such and such?
Right.
And I said, I'm sure Stork is going to come blasting me for my...
Bourne movies?
Well, no, not so much for the Bourne movies, but like for like the statement of like, you know, they were on the brink of becoming irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know. And it's because of the Bourne movies. In all honesty. Like, I mean, I think if the Bourne movies had never been made,
mm-hmm.
we would probably still see the same style of Bond movie.
Yeah, it's funny too though, because that's where Kingsman succeeded.
Yeah.
Like you had a break from all that. No, it's out of our time frame.
Right.
But, I mean, you had a break from that. Sort of the...
Yeah.
Different kinds of widgets and whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
That Bond had back then. Then you came out with the... new Bond.
Yeah.
Which everybody loved more in the lines of the Bourne movies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you come out with Kingsman, and then it incorporated all of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, I love Kingsman.
Yeah, oh, so do I.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But it incorporated all of it at the same, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it incorporated what they did back then and now and brought it relevant to today, yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
Versus years of bad gadgets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They did it in just one movie, and it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it I mean, the Kingsman is such a... Because I've thought about that, because, like, you know, watching the trailers for Kingsman 2, I was just like, I mean, this is everything a Bond movie used to be.
Right.
You know, like, just outland. I mean, I think the part of it is it's so over the top.
Yes.
With the gadgets and with the action that you forgive it because it's so good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those oddball things that... And maybe that's the thing. Like, maybe if the Bourne movies had never existed, maybe this is what Bond movies would be.
Yeah, the direction that they would have taken.
Right. Because, I mean, that's what each Bond movie was let's take it more over the top of the last one.
Yeah.
With just how outrageous can we get.
But this was over the top out the gate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, exactly, yeah. But I mean,
and it was meant to be that way.
Yeah.
It was written like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's almost like... It's parodying those types of Bond movies in the way that the Flint movies did in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, for those who have never... In Like Flint and Our Man Flint are... They're like these parodies of, like, the old school Bond movies from the 70s. And, yeah. And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, especially in, like, Flint, that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Mm.
You know, I love that movie. He's got James Colburn as Derek Flint.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's got, like, they're trying to give him, like, the briefcase that with all the gadgets in it. And he's like, well, how much, what can it do? And they're like, well, we can do 25 different things. He's like, well, this lighter can do 39, 40 if you count lighting a cigarette.
Nice.
You know what I mean? It's like... So, I can say in all honesty that, yeah, I mean, the Kingsman just does something that's... I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Yeah, but it works. I don't know if it's the actors or I, you know, but I mean, but the key is that first and foremost, it did have a good story at the center of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. Like the Bond movies, if you also go back, a lot of the stories were shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So. So we did have a little bit of news. Next week is going to be Comic-Con. So we're probably going to be knee deep in Comic-Con news, I would imagine, next weekend. So we will not be doing finishing off this franchise, this series, until the week after, because we'll have all sorts of Comic-Con news and I'm sure trailers and all sorts of other stuff to discuss. But this week was D23.
Yep.
And so I'm going to ask you now: did you see the Star Wars behind the scenes?
I did. I watched
sizzle
it.
Reel.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Looks pretty good to me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing about it that I didn't like.
Yeah.
You?
No. I mean, it's tough because it's a sizzle reel.
Yeah.
You know, and this has kind of become their MO.
Yeah.
For this time of year. I remember, you know, in the lead up to The Force Awakens, around at Comic-Con, they released the same behind-the-scenes sizzle reel. And last year... at Comic-Con, they released the same sizzle reel.
Yeah.
So, to me, this isn't... I was hoping for a trailer, but based upon the past years, I'm not surprised that this is what they did.
Yeah.
Now, based upon that, some of the little tidbits that you do get to see make you wonder about, you know, what are we going to be seeing in this movie? Because, I mean, at one point, I mean, it looks like... like a stretch limo speeder or something is involved there. yeah. You know,
new creatures being added in.
New creatures. But also, I something I found very interesting was, like, there's a moment where, like, they're showing, like, Daisy Ridley practicing for the lightsaber duel, and she's taking on three different people.
Yeah.
Is she fighting the Knights of Ren?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of little tidbits that they kind of gave you that don't answer questions, just create more.
Right.
You know, and I like that.
I mean, it's not. I didn't come away with anything, but
no. But it was good to like see like there's that moment. It looks like Chewbacca's in the cockpit of a fighter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What's he doing?
Yeah.
How does he even fit in there?
Yeah. So I mean, there's all.
Hold on, I'm just gonna move the seat back a little bit.
Yeah. There's all sorts of interesting stuff. It was kind of shown in there that I'm that like really piqued my interest and makes me want to, you know, go, ooh. Yeah. You know what I mean? When can we expect this? Or what, you know, so I'm very excited for what's coming. And, you know,
what was it when they went into, was it DC cab that freaking Mr. T went into the freaking car and ripped out the seat?
Yeah, it was DC cab.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Chewie did to the next one.
Yeah.
We don't need this.
yeah, really. So I was very impressed. I enjoyed seeing it. I'm, and like I said, I mean, it raised more questions than it certainly answered, which is what it's meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has me giddy and waiting for the. And I've watched it like five times. I'll admit it. But it has me giddy for what's going to be coming next. Mm-hmm. You know, I would imagine maybe within the next month or so, we should get the next trailer.
Yeah.
So we shall see. But also, they released their first trailer for A Wrinkle in Time.
And it looked amazing.
Didn't it, though?
Yeah. I thought it looked amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking. This is one of my all-time favorite books as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember reading this as a kid and just being wowed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched. I know they did. There was another. I think it was a TV version of it. I watched it not too long ago. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing on the big screen like this, seeing it like really given a chance to like explode.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, like, you know, like with the color and like everything that like you were given the description of that you can't do previous to now.
Right.
You couldn't do on a TV budget. makes me excited to see what this is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't even mind that Oprah's in it.
I don't either.
Yeah. Whatever works. You know.
Yeah.
But I mean it looked really good.
Yeah, effects wise it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Plus Pine.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I'm always up for a little Chris Pine.
Yeah.
But, but he shouldn't be a major part of the story. He should be like the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should just get a little bit of him at the beginning, a little bit of him at the end. He looks good with a beard, though.
He does.
I was surprised by that. I was like, well, Captain Kirk looking good there.
I'm just glad that, he's doing some movies.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to see him typecasted. You know what I mean?
As Kirk, yeah.
As Kirk.
Yeah.
And I think he's working his way out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. Because I think Wonder Woman certainly helped with that.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, in his own right, I mean, he can do his own films.
And he's a good actor.
Yeah.
In all honesty, he is a good actor. I think he's just, like, post the first Star Trek movie, he did some real turds.
Yeah.
That didn't help him at all. But... but now, I mean, you know, coming off of Wonder Woman as the success of that and, you know, how good he was as Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
And now going into this and it's looking good.
Yeah. I agree. I like the guy, man.
Yeah, I do too. I like Chris Pine a lot. And hopefully they'll release after Comic-Con. I know they released, a pseudo sort of trailer. In regards to, like, the 10th anniversary of Marvel Studios, but also a look forward at Infinity War.
Yeah.
Hopefully that, after Comic-Con, that will be released to the public for us to see.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Who knows? But going into Comic-Con, is there anything you particularly you're looking forward to seeing?
Me?
Yeah, anything you want to come out of Comic-Con with that you're hoping we get a peek at?
Not really.
No?
No, I mean, I think the thing with Comic-Con is, like, I've never really concerned myself too much with it. I know that sounds horrible to say, especially because we're a nerd podcast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy Comic-Con. I like going to the cons.
Yeah.
You know, not just Steel City, but I've been to the New York Con and stuff like that. But, so I've been to different Comic-Cons. But I kind of like to be surprised.
Yeah.
So I kind of stay off the radar.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when something comes out, and then I'll watch everything.
Yeah.
You know, like 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah.
Or day of, whatever. I look for the headlines, just released, and then that's when I get excited about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Saturday's the big day.
Yeah, but before that, I don't really pay any mind.
Okay.
I know there's stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And I kind of like to be surprised when it does come out. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
That way I won't get disappointed on something I had my hopes set on. Yeah. And I don't get to see it, so I don't build myself up. I just let it roll. And then what comes out after that is like, man, that's really fucking cool. Oh my God, did you see that? You know? Yeah. And that's when I like to talk about it, you know?
Well, I mean, there's one thing outside of, like, our normal, like, because I know Marvel has a panel.
Yeah.
So we have our expectations from that.
Yeah.
DC has a panel, so we have our expectations from that. But there's one thing I am highly anticipating getting something finally from.
Uh-huh.
And that is Spielberg has a Ready Player One panel on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I have not. And I know they just released, like, the first, like, official picture from the movie.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And now I'm looking forward to that. Give me the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, it's trailer time. And I think this is where we're going to finally get that first real look at this movie. And
I'm hoping it's that good. I'm just hoping. I'm praying that there are things in this movie they're going to make that you're going to see a trailer and you're going to be like, did you just see that?
Yeah.
Did you just see the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Shit like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not saying Millennium Falcon. I'm just saying, as in general, you're like, how much did they get to cross over into this movie?
Yeah.
And I'm very curious on that.
Yeah.
On how much, or is it just going to be like random blips, or is it going to be more like a movie, or are they actually going to get the shit in there that needs to be in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
So
yeah, it's gonna be very, very interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think the major thing is, like, me and Nancy had this discussion last night. I think the heart of the story has to be there. Like, if you're telling the story, I'm okay with that. Like, if there's gonna be stuff you can't get, I get that. There's gonna be stuff that, you know, you may have to find substitutions for, and I get that.
Right.
But overall, you have to tell me that story, because as much as I loved all the little references here and there,
right?
Ernie Grant told a great story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what I really need, is that story.
Right.
You know, how you're going to tell it, how you're going to work around things, that's up to Steven Spielberg, and I trust him to do that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I want that story. I want that story of Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see the trailer for this, because this is one of the few non-comic book, non-Star Wars movies I can say I am really looking forward to.
Right.
You know, that's, like, really on my radar, and I, whenever I see news about it, I go right to it.
Okay.
You know, so with that, let's jump in the old mailbag.
Okay.
Mailbag! And as always, we start with a good friend, Super Fan Thad. Hello to my two favorite Spider-Men, Tobey Maguire Coon, and Ian Holland. Superfan Thad strikes again at the theater. I went to the Sunday early showing of Spider-Man. I was solo as Crystal did not want to go. So I purchased my reserve seat next to a group of three. When the group of three sat down, they asked me if I was in the wrong seat. I said no, that I had N14. They asked me to move one down. I declined. The guy left and got the usher, and the usher asked to see my ticket. The usher told the group of three that I had purchased a ticket and I did not have to move. So they left the theater complaining. They did not stay for the movie.
Wow.
I don't even know where to go with this. I get it. You purchased a ticket. It's reserved seating. It's right next to them. Man, that's a dick move.
Yeah.
That's rough. He was well within his rights. He bought that seat.
Yeah.
But it's still rough.
It is.
I mean, that's why I've gotten to a point, like, especially the one in Monroeville, I buy tickets down in the lower bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And because nobody sits down there, for one.
Yeah.
And two, like, if you sit in the top row of that area, there's nobody behind you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about stuff, you know, that type of stuff. It's fantastic. I love it. Nobody sits near me, you know.
Yeah.
Except for one time, I've always had the seat next to me open.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know. It's not like I saw a stork reaching into Tim's popcorn bucket with his little Timmy swimming in butter. What gives? Maybe the Spider-Man onesie set them off. That would certainly do the trick for me. Keaton was great, but I was disappointed in the Shocker. No. Well, on to America's new favorite segment. What do I want to see Tim stick his little, and I mean little, I watched him pee at Ian's house, Timmy, into this week? No. Not doing it. Well, it is that time. It's time for me to tutor Otter in science. Maybe he will understand Interstellar or how to make a grilled cheese sandwich someday. I'm shocked you're still walking, my friend. You keep insulting the man's intelligence. He's going to, he's just going to camp and snipe you.
Snipe.
Next up, we have our good friend, the Otter, our super fan Tim. Hey, Pittsburgh nerds.
Hey.
Great 90s list. Desperado is a fantastic movie, as is Rush Hour. And The Matrix is probably my all-time favorite action movie. What? No love for JCVD? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm. I did.
I'm throwing in Hard Target for consideration.
Or was that my 80s list?
I think that was your 80s list, yeah. Because you went Bloodsport.
Yeah, Bloodsport.
Setting a movie in New Orleans and not having to explain that weird accent that the muscles from Brussels always has. Belgium? No, that's a Creole accent. And that glorious mullet. A hot damsel in distress. And Wilford fucking Brimley. Classic all day long. Diabetes.
Cocoon.
I got the diabetes. Short episode for me as I had to skip the Spidey talk. Hoping to catch it soon, though. As long as that asshole who keeps showing up at the same theater as me and buying tickets right next to me stays away. What an asshat. Nice. keeping it short and to the point this week, I had a lot to do this weekend, prepping for the return of Game of Thrones. Beaver is making Game of Thrones cookies for me, and I got the Game of Thrones fancy beers on ice. Now it's just a matter of waiting for Little Mouth and Dweeb to give me something to bitch about for next week. But we highly anticipate your bitchery. You giddy for Game of Thrones tonight?
I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm ready for the return. See yeah. what's going on.
I need something to start here.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Next up, we have our good friend, the Besotted Geek, from the Besotted Geek podcast, better known to us as Stork. Stork writes in, "Hey, guys. Well, I haven't seen Spider-Man yet, so that cut out about 40 minutes of last week's show for me."
There you go.
Hell, even Peacock got through the episode before Friday. Glad to help. And unlike Otter, I'm not afraid to bore you with a list, so here we go. I'm going to try to keep my criteria from the last time, and making this list and hearing yours, I think I have to say the 80s were better. At least it was easier, because in my opinion, there were a lot more good action movies to choose from. I think I'm going to struggle with this one, but here it goes. Number 10, Cliffhanger. He states, "Bad movie overall, but there were some good scenes that got my fear of heights going. And Lithgow plays a great baddie."
Okay.
It's all uphill from here, my friend. All uphill from here.
I think one of the most important things is, like, Lithgow.
Yeah. Is your bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love John Lithgow.
Yeah.
But that didn't make any sense.
Number 9, The Rock.
Okay.
"I can't believe I had to put a Nicolas Cage movie on my list. I told you that the 90s were worse/harder. So let's just pretend Sean Connery is the main star, shall we?" Okay. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, same.
You know, I like Nick Cage. Number 8, Patriot Games. "A little slow and thinky at times, but Harrison Ford and Sean Bean are really good. Great ending, too. Spoiler, Sean Bean dies."
Spoiler from 30 years ago?
Yeah. I disqualified, like, the...
25 years
yeah. ago. Yeah. I mean, I disqualified the Jack Ryan movies just because I didn't think there was enough action in them.
Yeah.
Like, there's... I can't think of the name of it now. But there was a great action. It's considered an action movie. But it's a spy movie. It's got Robert Redford and Brad Pitt in it.
Okay.
And, like, every list I saw, like, they had it, like, mentioned, like, on there as, like, a great action movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the movie. But the action is few and far between. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, it just, there wasn't enough action for me to constitute putting anywhere near a list like this. And I felt the same way about, like, the Jack Ryan movies. Like, the action sequences are good when they finally get to them.
Right.
But they're so... And there's so much more going on. And they tell great stories. Like, I like them as movies. But there's just so much other stuff going on that... The action just doesn't constitute it being on the list.
Okay.
But I get... Apparently, Stork doesn't like these types of movies. Like, these 90s movies, like... If he's putting Patriot Games on here.
Right.
He's going with Cliffhanger.
Right, right.
You know. He's running rough. Number 7, The Professional. "Very original story, sweet gunplay, and Gary Oldman at his over-the-top best." We'll get a complaint from me.
Mm.
Number 6, Mission Impossible. "Really kicked off the phase of Tom Cruise's career of running in an action movie. Cool plot and iconic wire scene."
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Number five, GoldenEye. Obligatory Bond entrant. Pierce Brosnan's best. Enough said. Wow. Number four, Desperado. Why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long
now. What were you listening to in the car?
What was I listening to?
Was that country music?
No, that's Theory of a Dead Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, country music. Child, please!
I couldn't hear. I was like, what is he listening to country music for?
I really hope Sean just graced us with his finest Don Henley impression. Oh, I did. Anyways, great action movie with bullets and fiery explosions galore. That's Robert Rodriguez at his best right there, my friend. At his best. Blade. Not only a great action movie, also revived the comic book genre after the awfulness of the movie that shall not be named. Did I get you to say it? No, you did not. Mission failed, my friend. Number two, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Not sure if it's better than the original, but it's damn close. If it isn't, and that's a tough thing for any sequel to do, let alone the action genre.
Yeah.
And at number one, Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Wow.
Just kidding, it's The Matrix. Obviously. So innovative and brimming with bullets, funny explosions, chases, and etc., it has to be tops for the decade. In a word, whoa. So that's it for me. Have a good one, Stork.
You too.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate the write-ins. Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to the proceedings there, sir?
No, Sam, I think I'm good.
Okay. Well, remember, there are a number of different ways you can reach out and touch us. You can send us an email like these fine folks have, and an email address is pittsburghnerd@yahoo.com. You can also find us on social media. Just search Pittsburgh Nerd on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and you'll find us right there. And we're also a part of a number of podcasting networks. You can find us on the Wicked Radio Network, the Tangent Bound Network, the Weeby Geeks Network, or the High Voltage Network. Just give them a title search in your old Google Anator there. And you'll be able to find us, find them, and all the great podcasts that they have to offer. And as always, I want to thank you, the listener, for taking the time to enjoy our hijinks and shenanigans each and every week. We can't thank you enough for that.
Sure.
So, with that, sir, is there anything else you'd like to add to the proceedings?
No, I'm good, man.
Then on that note, the dreamer has awakened.
Peace.